Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. On ProWrestling.net today, my WWE Raw hit list, which I'll be reading here to you in a little bit. And we also will have viewership and ratings information by the time you hear this. You can join Jake Barnett for live coverage of SmackDown Live, the 900th episode, as the show airs on USA Network. And I will also have pre-show notes in the 30 minutes leading up to SmackDown. Coming up after the break for non-members, we'll look ahead to that loaded SmackDown Live television show and discuss last night's WWE Raw. WWE SmackDown 900 takes place tonight, and it is great timing for WWE in that this, of course, is the go-home show for Sunday Survivor Series. At 4 SmackDown tonight, WWE is advertising the return of Undertaker, Edge hosting the Cutting Edge segment with the Team SmackDown members, Dolph Ziggler against The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship, and Nikki Bella against her SmackDown rival, Carmella. I think it's a nice lineup, and I'm curious to see how much of an effect Undertaker's return has on viewership and the rating. I think they'll get a nice bump either way, because last week they went up against the election, and so numbers were way down. But I just kind of want to see what it does compared to kind of SmackDown's average. Obviously curious to see what Taker is going to do on the show. WWE, while they've advertised him frequently, they haven't really set the stage in a meaningful way. There really hasn't been any sort of a tease as to what he might be doing, or they haven't made it seem ominous like it could be a retirement. There's just been nothing. It's just Undertaker's going to be on the 900 SmackDown, and that's kind of it. They're not playing up his recent history of the WrestleMania match with Shane McMahon or really anything else. It's just kind of empty hype so far. It's Taker. It's still meaningful. I look forward to the segment. You'd think they'd be going into overdrive with the hype, though, if they had something big in mind for this. It actually has me wondering, is this going to be as flat as Undertaker making his entrance, getting in the ring, saying very little or nothing at all, and then being interrupted by Jackass Kurt Hawkins, and Taker ends up giving him a tombstone. They call it a night. I hope it's more than that. I'd like to see at least, or hear, I guess, some sort of an announcement that he's back for Mania. And I mean, I think the fact that he's going to be on this show, unless he does announce a retirement, I think the shape that he's suddenly in, after, you know, we saw pictures of him on crutches, and then all of a sudden we saw him pop up on opening night for the Cleveland Cavaliers NBA team, and he just looked like a million bucks. He just looked like old Undertaker. So I don't think he got himself in that kind of shape just to make an appearance at the Cavaliers game. So I want to see what it is Taker is going to do. I wonder if there'll be any clarification as to his status. So he was not drafted. He was, he's appearing on SmackDown, but he wasn't actually drafted to SmackDown. Meanwhile, you have the Edge segment. I assume this is probably going to lead to more bickering between the heels and babyfaces on Team SmackDown. I'd like to see them establish that the brawl with Raw on Monday night kind of led to them setting their differences aside for what they consider to be the common good. I think it'll be interesting to see if Team Raw shows up tonight. I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they did some sort of continuation. Maybe this time SmackDown gets the upper hand since the show is on their home turf. But I will feel bad for anyone from Raw who has to show up that also took part in the overseas tour. I mean, they've been away from home for quite some time. There's no telling who's all going to be there. But I know a number of people, there's some advertised already, that they're going to have to also kind of give up a free day on Friday to go to the WrestleMania on-sale party in Orlando. Now, a number of people are located there. It's still, and I mean, they could be doing a house show. They just had a grueling overseas tour, and I'm sure some of these people just like to enjoy being home for a little while rather than going and taking part in meet-and-greet stuff. Now, the Intercontinental title match, I think it's an interesting one. I mean, never mind the fact that, I guess just kind of putting aside the fact we know these two can have a really good match together based on what we saw when Ziggler won the Intercontinental Championship, and really many times before that. I think that's the one people remember, obviously, and people got into because of the retirement stipulation for Ziggler. But we've seen them work very good matches together in the past, but it's kind of been overkill, and we've seen a little too much of them. It does feel a little fresh. They've taken their time setting up this rematch between the two, and I'm kind of curious to see how it goes, because Ziggler and Zayn, I think, is a nice, solid babyface versus babyface match for Sunday. And then I kind of suspect that the Cruiserweight division ends up on SmackDown. Is the IC title? I mean, I lean toward it staying on SmackDown, but who knows what they have in mind. If there's any plan to move the IC title to Raw, I guess it wouldn't surprise me if Miz is the guy who they want to be responsible for losing that match. So maybe he wins the title somehow by a fluke tonight, or some sort of cheating, the old hairspray bit again, or whatever they've been using. I hope it's not that. But then he's the guy who loses to Sami Zayn on Sunday. Just throwing it out, there's a possibility. But I wouldn't even rule out that somehow, some way, this becomes a triple threat match rather than babyface versus babyface. I don't know how they would get there. Maybe tonight's that match ends in some sort of controversy, and not that they hold up the title, but that they just add Miz as a challenger on Sunday and give him something to do with the pay-per-view. I think it'd be a shame if Miz or Ziggler, it doesn't have anything to do on the on Survivor Series. And I mean, they could end up putting one of them in the in a kickoff show match. Lord knows they have 2 hours to fill with the kickoff show. Can you tell I'm bitter? 2 hour kickoff show for Survivor Series, dear Lord. But again, you can join Jake for live coverage tonight, and if you want to find out some more details, they're usually pretty good about announcing another match or two on the pre-show, which I'll be covering. Look for those notes on ProWrestling.net. Again, the half hour leading up to SmackDown tonight. It's time for my WWE Raw hit list, as I like to give this to you guys. I know some of you just don't have the time at work to read a long-form article, and so it's a little bit easier for you to go ahead and listen. If you've already read it, hey, feel free to skip ahead. I'll get into my Raw bonus thoughts once we wrap up the hit list here. As usual, we will start with the hits. Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, and Paul Heyman at the top of the list. There's not a lot to like about the creative work on the three-hour Monday Night Marathon lately. This was an exception. I spent every segment related to Goldberg and Lesnar just hoping that the company wouldn't kill Goldberg's momentum following that hot return in Denver. There was the hiccup in Minneapolis when Paul Heyman was given the unenviable task of getting Lesnar's hometown fans to root against him, but WWE did an otherwise excellent job of building up anticipation for this showdown match, and there's no telling how the Toronto crowd is going to react, and there's certainly no guarantee that this match is going to live up to the hype. Either way, though, WWE did a great job from a creative standpoint, and this match feels bigger than it did when it was first teased. And I'll even add to what I wrote in the hit list. For years, people, well, they could, if they brought back Goldberg to face Lesnar, it's like, if it happens, cool. And it wasn't a match I dreaded. It wasn't a match that I had, like, pencil. It's still not a dream match for me, but it wasn't a match that I was as excited as some seem to be about it. And now that they've done it, now that they've gotten through the build to it and everything, I am looking forward to it. Again, doesn't mean it's going to be good, but I still look forward to it, and I think they've done a really nice job. Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns against Sheamus and Cesaro is the next hit. It was good to get a long match early in the show after getting three forgettable matches during the first 2 hours of last week's Raw. I feel bad for Sheamus and Cesaro in that the Survivor Series format has led to countless wrestlers performing their odd couple routine. Next hit, Sami Zayn against Bo Dallas, and it's just a minor hit for Zayn getting a showcase win heading into Survivor Series. The Bo character's still a mess, as he inexplicably continues to carry that awful campaign sign even though the election is over. The only thing more out of touch would be holding a mock debate nearly a week after the election. Yeah, that they did that too. Next hit, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman, and Chris Jericho facing New Day. The real hit goes to the backstage segment with Jericho presenting scarves to his teammate while deeming himself the team captain. The Strowman character is too one-dimensional, but it worked here with him taking the $750 scarf that Jericho was wearing and then tearing it to shreds. This was another lengthy match, though, that seemed to put the emphasis on the members of the male team Raw at the expense of the tag team champions. But New Day is what it is, and I don't think this loss is going to damage them. The final hit, Sasha Banks and Charlotte against Nia Jax and Alicia Fox, and the minor hit is for making Jax look good, despite her team losing the match. Meanwhile, the bickering tag partners act was really tired by this point in the show, and Sasha's just starting to come off being just as petty as heel Charlotte is by arguing with her constantly. How about the babyface actually acts above the silly squabbling for once? And now we are into the WWE Raw misses, starting with the Survivor Series Summit. The verbal exchange between the authority figures left me dreading the state of the WWE Universe debate that followed on Raw. And sucked, by the way. I had to laugh over Team SmackDown coming off like the baby faces on Raw. I laughed even harder when a small group of fans chanted holy shit over Team SmackDown showing up. It hasn't even been 4 months since these wrestlers were all in the same brand together. Anyway, heel champion AJ Styles came off like the star of the segment and the most likable guy in the ring. Roman Reigns just stood there and let everyone talk again. There was a last-ditch attempt made to get over the story that never existed between Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, and it fell flat. And meanwhile, new heel Randy Orton actually received the best pop of the segment. While the action was solid and things definitely improved once the wrestler showed up, this whole thing is a mess, and I can't wait until WWE gets through Survivor Series. The idea of watching a bunch of babyfaces and heels fight for something that only the authority figures care about is about as dull as it gets. On a positive note, James Ellsworth's pained reaction to being added to Chris Jericho's list was priceless. Next miss, WWE Cruiserweights. All the wrestlers standing around talking backstage with a complete disregard for the babyface and heel dynamic was maddening. Are they using the failed X division as a blueprint for the Cruiserweight division? Brian Kendrick eventually addressed the wrestlers, which led to TJ Perkins and Rich Swann both claiming they deserve the next title shot. Will that lead to a kickoff show match? Is there anyone out there who doesn't hope the Cruiserweights move to SmackDown? Final miss, Brian Kendrick against Sin Cara. I'm all for good competitive matches receiving a good amount of time, but this was just flat on paper even. Heck, everything involving Sin Cara feels that way. I feel bad for Unico. The company should have given up on the Sin Cara gimmick rather than transferring it to him. It's a damaged gimmick that needs to be retired. Before we get into the Raw bonus section, I want to give you a heads up that .NET members are listening to my full review of last night's WWE Raw show, as well as the 40-minute edition of the Q&A audio show. Every Monday, I answer the members' questions, both pro wrestling and non. This one a little bit briefer than usual, even, just because I've been a little bit under the weather. Feeling better today, though. Life is good. The format of the Q&A is pro wrestling to start, and then on the back end of things, we have some fun with those non-wrestling questions. I look forward to it every week, and I know some of the members that take part with their weekly submissions do as well, and I think you would enjoy it too. Coming up this weekend, of course, Zach Zimmerman's live coverage of NXT, which will be followed by an audio review, and same with Survivor Series. I'll be covering Survivor Series live, and then Jake Barnett and I will get together after the show with the member-exclusive audio review. Zach and I will get together for .NET Weekly. Zach covers NXT and the Independents as closely as anybody out there, and I'm really looking forward to getting his take on not only the TakeOver show, but also 205 Live, kind of the state of the Cruiserweight division. Get his thoughts as a young 20-something on his interest level in Bill Goldberg against Brock Lesnar here in 2016. So it should be an interesting show coming up. We are scheduled to record on Wednesday, so look for that tomorrow, .NET members. If you are interested in becoming a .NET member, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net. Find that sign-up area. You can't miss it. Three different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. You want to whittle some off that, the six-month option is there. And, of course, you can knock $2 off the monthly price if you take the annual option. It's $5.50 is what it breaks down to if you become an annual subscriber to ProWrestling.net. If you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet or shoot me an email, .netjason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out. Don't do like my girlfriend once did. You got to spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. If you're wondering why I spell it out for you guys, yeah, she actually wrote the dot and then was wondering why I wasn't getting any emails from her. We figured it out quickly, but it still makes me laugh to this day. Now for those Raw bonus thoughts. Is Mick Foley about to be fired? I mean, Grant, we don't know if Team Raw is going to win or lose on Sunday, but it kind of seemed like they were setting the table last night. You had Stephanie making sure to point out that it was Mick Foley's decision to put the entire Cruiserweight division on the line at Survivor Series. And yeah, it could be, well, they want to distance Stephanie from that decision, or they need, yeah, this will be part of the storyline excuse for getting rid of Mick Foley. She also told Team Raw last week that their jobs were on the line. And this week, she said there would be some serious changes. So she didn't go as, well, maybe it was just the one line, and maybe I'm reading too much into it. But, and I do want to emphasize, she did say she and Mick Foley would make some serious changes. So, I mean, it's maybe, again, I could be reading too much into this, but I just don't think they're going to fire any of the wrestlers and have them pop up on SmackDown. So if Raw loses, do they just, is this Stephanie's way of making good on her threat of change, of jobs being on the line, things of that nature? I mean, the alternative, of course, is simply to have Team Raw go over. And because SmackDown's Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon aren't making those types of threats. But just something to keep an eye on. Next, when is the last time we actually saw Kevin Owens get a meaningful win, a real win? And not even a meaningful win, just a real one. I wasn't down on Triple H handing Kevin Owens the title. A lot of people were, just because they wanted to see Kevin Owens positioned differently as a heel. And hey, believe me, I'd like that too, but I just didn't think WWE was going to do it. And so my thought was basically, well, this got him the title. There's more than one way to do this. I prefer the other way as well, but at least he has the championship and some good can come from this. It really hasn't. Since he won the title, he's kind of just been cast as this one half of a comedy duo with Chris Jericho, and it's certainly been fun, but Owens just is not a meaningful champion. Both Owens and the title, I think, have lost some luster since he captured it, and that's a shame. I mean, I really think Owens himself, after you get that initial buzz that he just became champion out of the way, I don't think he means as much as he did before he won the title because of the way they booked him. Now, this isn't going to solve all their problems with Kevin Owens, but can we get this guy some more like real wins on television? Now, I'm not suggesting that. Here's my scenario. How about everybody loves a Chris Jericho list? Well, how about Kevin Owens issues an open challenge? And there's their condition that Chris Jericho has come up with a list of people who are not eligible for this open challenge. And of course, it consists of the guys they want to save for bigger matches with Kevin Owens. And you just look at it as the fans will look, ah, oh, that he's ducking the top guys. But then at least Owens can work with some undercard baby faces and get some clean wins just to kind of regain some level of credibility. I mean, we just don't see him win unless it's by fluke, it feels like, or some interference. Again, not a major boost, but at least we'd be reminded that this guy can win a match on his own. Also, how sad was it that Super Shane McMahon was the guy who cleared Braun Strowman from the ring? I know Braun took a couple of shots from others before Shane cleared him. I still laughed out loud at the absurdity of Shane McMahon delivering that final blow. But I am hopeful that it was done because Braun Strowman is going to be the guy to eliminate Shane on Sunday. And this is just kind of their way of explaining why Shane is such a target for Braun Strowman. We'll see if it happens. I have my doubts too, but throwing out another conspiracy theory. I thought WWE failed miserably, though, when it came to making it seem like anyone cares about Team Raw versus Team SmackDown beyond the authority figures. And I know they had the guys fighting at the end of the show and all that, but they've spent the whole time establishing that most of the heels care about being team captains more than anything. And then we've got all this bickering between the baby faces and heels. They really haven't given the wrestlers any storyline incentive for, winning this match. Aside from Stephanie's open threat about firings and changes and things like that, they're just there's really they're, it's too soon for brand loyalty. And you could have one of the baby faces make a speech about it, but it would be risky because it's so soon, and I just don't know that anyone's going to believe in that speech. It's just going to feel forced. And so, I mean, it's just this whole thing just happened too soon. I really wish they would have taken a traditional approach to Survivor Series, had some Raw matches, had some SmackDown matches, still had your Goldberg and Brock Lesnar match. And then next year, if they stick with the brand split and they avoid the temptation of having too many crossover matches and things like that, it can mean more. It can only mean more next year. It doesn't mean it's going to be it's something I hope they go back to or that it's going to be feel super meaningful, but it'll certainly feel more meaningful than it does just, again, not even 4 months after the WWE draft. Maybe it will be by SmackDown. It's coming up. We're just shy of 4 months since the draft. And so the idea that, oh man, they're all working, they're all going to be in the same ring again. They've all been in the same ring 4 months ago. It wasn't that long. I guess Shane is kind of the exception and some of the newer acts, but not enough. Hey, finally today, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Take a moment, rate and review us on iTunes. I really appreciate it when you guys take the moment to do that. Or just a simple retweet when I put out the link for this daily podcast. A lot of you guys do that as well. Thank you to everyone who has done one or both of those things. You're helping spread the word about this podcast and ProWrestling.net in general. And one more time, follow me on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. Coming up tomorrow, you guys are actually going to be hearing back-to-back days of the British Invasion Duo, as we like to call them, Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge. Coming up tomorrow, they will be reviewing the latest Ring of Honor television show, headlined by Bobby Fish. and Hangman Page, a show I've already watched. You'll get my review of that on the website also on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the guys are going to get together and get you ready for the NXT TakeOver Toronto special. So back-to-back days with Hayden and Darren should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Take care.